Joe Biden is picking the teachers' unions over our kids. You know, it might be nice if the guy who was our president would try to put the needs of America's children first instead of the demands from the teachers' unions. The children of America, they need a president looking out for them right now. But you know what? Joe Biden is too political to care. After all, kids don't vote, do they? Nor, by the way, can they donate to his campaign. Hello, I'm Trish Regan. This is the Trish Intel Show. And you know what? It's pretty simple. The teachers are holding our kids hostage. Their ransom note is more money, more stimulus, $128 billion worth of stimulus, to be exact. That's how much they want. You know, President Biden needs to man up. Joe Biden needs to pull a Ronald Reagan here. Remember what Reagan did with the air traffic controllers? Just tell the teachers and those unions to get back to work or they're fired. It's that simple. But you know what? Joe is too indebted, you see, to the money and the influence the teachers' unions offer to ever think about what is actually right for the children of America. This is absolutely disgraceful. Public schools all around the country still closed, yet Catholic schools are open. Private schools are open. And you know why? They aren't out there trying to arm wrestle taxpayers for more money. They charge a fee for their services, and gosh darn it, you know, people just aren't going to pay the fee if there's no school. Look, our own CDC says there's no doubt that teachers can safely return to work. With the proper health measures in place, they're going to be fine. In fact, there have been no reported cases of teachers even getting the coronavirus from their students. And yet, this administration is something else, because the vice president, Kamala Harris, goes on the Today Show and the host asks her about all this, points out that our own CDC says it's not a prerequisite for teachers to be vaccinated in order to go back to work. But many teachers are wary of going back to school. So can Kamala Harris say anything at all to reassure teachers? And this is all she's got. Listen.
Open. Can you reassure teachers who are listening right now that it is safe for them to go back to school, even if they are not vaccinated, if these public health measures like distancing and masks are being implemented?
So first of all, let me just say this, and the president has said it, and we're all really clear. Teachers should be a priority. Teachers should be a priority. Look, let me just tell you something. I love teachers. My first grade teacher, Mrs. Frances Wilson, attended my law school graduation. Teachers are critical to our children's development. They should be able to teach in a safe place and expand the minds and the opportunities of our children. So teachers should be a priority along with other frontline workers, and we're going to make them a priority. I believe that 22 states, I believe, have prioritized teachers in terms of vaccinations.
But if they're not vaccinated, is it safe for them?
Well, I think that we have to decide if we can put in place safe measures. This is why, and it's so important, we pass the American Rescue Plan. The American Rescue Plan, which the president and I have proposed, is a plan that is about getting our schools back open. Why does this connect with what we're talking about right now? It's going to be safer for our schools to reopen when we can get our schools the infrastructure needs, like helping them with their ventilation systems, helping them create social distancing with barriers, the things that are necessary to get them back open in a safe way.
You think they should be a priority. Did you notice how she got in the push there for the American Rescue Plan? Because it's all about the money, right? She's not willing to say boo to the teachers' union. Let's be very clear. And yet she's here to ask for more money, right? Well, you know what? They have already asked for an insane $128 billion to reopen these schools. It's like ransom money, and our kids are being held hostage. But here's the kicker. After pleading for all that money, and you just heard her do it. We need it for barriers. We need it for ventilation systems. You name it. No, give me a break. You know how much they want to reopen schools this year? Of that $120 billion, they're going to use $6 billion of that. $6 billion of it for 2021. The rest gets spread out over a seven-year period. 7 years. So this is money that they want to spend into 2028. I just say, like, what? Is it going to take 7 years for you guys to actually reopen? I know there's a school district in Minnesota that says no go as far as in-person this fall is concerned. I mean, this is pretty awful, awful stuff. I mean, I don't know how else to describe this, but, you know, Americans need to stand up to this because this is a joke. This $6 billion is all they need, right? But they want $128 billion and they're going to spread it out over the next 7 years. This is them holding our children effectively hostage. And this is the ransom note. And we can't be okay with this. You know what? We're not stupid. We know what's going on. We know what's up. We know this is a shakedown. And Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, they are proving all that is so disgustingly wrong with politics in America today. Coming up next. Is Joe Biden the president of the United States or a PR person from China? It's actually debatable.
The central principle of Xi Jinping is that there must be a united, tightly controlled China. And he uses his rationale for the things he does based on that. I point out to him, no American president can be sustained as a president if he doesn't reflect the values of the United States. And so the idea, I'm not going to speak out against what he's doing in Hong Kong, what he's doing with the Uyghurs in Western mountains of China, and Taiwan trying to end the one China policy by making it forceful. I said, and by the way, he said he gets it. Culturally, there are different norms at each country, and their leaders are expected to follow.
Wow. Really? So this is just a cultural norm type thing, right? The fact that they're imprisoning an entire group of people? They just call that a cultural norm? I mean, who the heck is our president? I mean, really, what exactly does China have on him that he should be carrying Xi Jinping's water? This is really bizarre stuff, all right? There's no excuses for what's going on in China. And yet he's out there, he, the president of the United States, is out there trying to make them to the American people? I think not. Coming up next, Beijing Biden keeps talking down our economy, even when our economy is doing so much better. So what is that about, other than him being a total Debbie Downer? I'll tell you what it's about. He wants the economy to underperform, to tank, just so he can get more stimulus and more power. I'll explain next.
But you saw the jobs report. There's only 6,000 private sector jobs have been created. And at that rate, it's going to take 10 years before we get to full employment.
Whoa! 10 years before we get to full unemployment kind of makes you a little bit nostalgic for Donald Trump, doesn't it? I mean, really, 10 years just to get back where you were. Hey, what did we hire you for anyway? That was Joe Biden last week talking his book. That's exactly what he was doing. I mean this because what his book is, right, is this totally insane, totally unaffordable $1.9 trillion stimulus. He wants all this money. So it's got to be a total bummer when the economy actually makes jobs, right, or delivers news like what we saw yesterday, right? Retail sales totally skyrocketing, 5.3% uptick. I mean, that is huge, right? Very much in the good news department. This is an explosion in retail sales, and it's because people had money in their pockets, in part because of the stimulus checks, in part because we're starting to see more relief in terms of the COVID environment. People are feeling more comfortable going back out into the economy. And so this number jumped nearly five times what economists had anticipated. But with that uptick in sales comes, you know what, an uptick in inflation. When you look at inflationary numbers like the producer price index, which measures the amount that producers are paying for goods, you know, a store owner that has to go and buy the stuff and then turns around and sells it to his or her customers, that number came in far higher than expected, with the Bureau of Labor Statistics reporting that there was a 1.3% jump in that PPI number. So there you go. We're starting to see inflation. It's coming. It's coming. Don't say I didn't warn you. It is coming. And the more money he spends, the harder it's going to get. Okay, coming up next, everyone, Rush Limbaugh dying at the age of 70. I'm sure he had much, much more to say, and I know you probably all had much, much more to listen to. I've got that story for you next. 70's pretty young. Rush Limbaugh dying. Too young. You know, he was a man who had a lot of things to say, and I am most certain he had a lot more to say, a lot of things that he wanted to say. And I know so many Americans wanted him to be here in the coming years to say all that. But Rush Limbaugh passing away yesterday at 70 years old of lung cancer. You know, I never knew him personally. I never did. I never met him. A few people were surprised by that, actually. But, you know, don't forget, most of my career was primarily covering markets and the economy and business. I certainly heard clips of his show. I remember in the 90s how he just skyrocketed to popularity. And it was really because of his tenacity and his ability. I always found this really amazing and unique, his ability to just drill down into the heart of where everyday Americans were on issues, right? He had this sensibility about him that was so important. And he gave a voice to so many people that otherwise would not have had one. I realize the liberal media is going to attack him in the coming days. They've already started, right? They've already gone all in attacking him. But let me just say that, you know, I know that there are many people that didn't like his viewpoints, many people on the left that detested his viewpoints, in fact. But Rush Limbaugh was a really wonderful example of what a free country really looks like, what America needs to look like. Look, the reality is you're not going to like everything you hear. You know, there are a lot of people that didn't like what Rush Limbaugh had to say. There were a lot of people that loved it. But the reality is, in a free country, you have that freedom of expression. And so, you know, as an individual who listens to it, you're going to hear things you like. You're going to hear things you don't like. And so be it. Right? Hopefully, if you're an intelligent enough person, you're able to take all this in. You're able to kind of decipher it intelligently and come up with your own conclusions on things. But you need that diversity of thought. You need that controversy. You need different opinions out there if you're really going to be a strong nation. He was someone that truly did believe in the First Amendment and exercised his First Amendment every single day. So rest in peace, Rush Limbaugh. I know life is so short, so I think it's important we all make a commitment to ourselves that we live as freely as we can. It's up to each and every one of us to protect our rights, to exercise our rights, and to ensure freedom for the next generation. Rest in peace, Rush Limbaugh.